It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Cleveland Browns Daily on a football Thursday. Vic Carucci with Nathan Zagura. And I want to tell you that you can stay connected to the Cleveland Browns. You get to stay so connected with us via our website, clevelandbrowns.com. You get the latest news, photos, videos, more. Visit clevelandbrowns.com and download our you can download our apps. You can download our mobile app. You got to like us on Facebook or love us. I still think there's got to be a love button in there.
There should be. I think
and,
so.
And you follow us on Twitter as well. All of that is available for you. So we want you to do that. And we do this right now, which is our roundtable segment. It's brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. It's the kind of place that you call it a neighborhood joint that seems to turn an everyday visit into a special event. So we have got with us now the roundtable, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon, the analyst from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, I want to start with you. This was supposed to be a different conversation this week. This was supposed to be, yeah, they won that first one, and boy, this is going to be the tough second one.
Yeah, I fully expected it. I think the city expected it. Very disappointed, as I'm sure everybody, you know, is, and I know you got to put it behind you, but it makes the road a lot tougher now to go into Baltimore, considering how they're going to be ready to play the game after what happened to them a week ago. So it was very discouraging, I thought, coming out of the stadium last Sunday. And I think a lot of people felt it, no matter if you were a fan, if you were an employee of the team, if you were up in the broadcast booth. It was a tough Sunday afternoon. I mean, a Sunday afternoon that we've seen, you know,
far too many times.
And especially, you know, in that scenario, opening day has been a tough day. And you know, when they say it's only one game, but I don't know, that opener feels like two games. It really does. It feels like it has the pressure, I think, of two games.
I think it carried more weight, Doug, this year because of high hope expectation attached to, again, new people here.
Well, new people, and it's very much a winnable game. I mean, You look at the schedule and you say, well, this is one that we've got a good shot of, you know, putting them away. And I would have to say Miami was one of them. Although they were 7-9, they had a better record. You know, they're kind of a young team in a lot of ways. Yeah. But, you know, they were talking today. It's not just always the same person that's screwing up. It's, you know, this person here this time and somebody else the next time. And somehow the chemistry of the football team and developing that is where you take the next step. And, you know, they've got a young team. And, you know, Ozzie always used to say, you know, three games, you know, to determine who you know, what kind of team you really are.
And it was also important because the Browns now face three straight playoff teams from 2012, obviously going to Baltimore, a team that they are 0-10 against in the John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco era, which is not good. But what can they do to win this game? What are some of the keys for you for the Browns to try to turn this around and try to steal one, really, in Baltimore?
Well, you know, I think, Nathan, when you go in there, you can be a Super Bowl contending team, and it's a tough game to go in there and try and beat these guys.
Yes.
So I think that you really, number one is the crying thing that you know, comes out of that game last Sunday is that offensive line's got to get together and really handle things and give Whedon some time back there to do what they want to do. And I think that, you know, they just have to get in a flow. I mean, I never even felt they ever, even on the touchdown drive last Sunday, I mean, that was aided by a couple of penalties on the Miami side of things. And it was forward, backwards, forward. I mean, it was like stop and go and stop
disjointed.
And go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was disjointed. You know, it wasn't just a clean drive. So I think that they have to get into that. I think defensively, I think they could be okay. I thought they were okay last week.
They were.
I just think that they got exposed. They were on the field too much. And when you go 1-for-14 on third down, your defense is obviously going to be checking in a lot.
I mean, when we looked at the O-line situation and looked at those injuries beforehand, and especially let's talk about the guy who had been regularly in there at right guard, Sean LaValle, we didn't think they were missing that kind of a piece that would be that would tilt the entire team and knock it to its knees in many respects offensively. That's kind of what happened. And by the way, LaValle did not practice today, still dealing with that ankle. I know they're trying to bring him along. He's getting treatment, but wasn't on the practice field today. So, you know, let's I guess we can maybe presume he's not going to be out there Sunday. But I don't think this team had any clue, Doug, how bad it was going to be in there, you know, with O'Neal Cousins and on top of that, Mitchell Schwartz struggling badly at right tackle.
Well, yeah, and I there's a lot of factors that kind of lead up to it. You know, you look at the fact that you've got two new guys playing together. It's not like, you know, you put a new guard next to Joe Thomas and then you got a pretty good security blanket there. You know, you've got a guy that played pretty good as a rookie, Schwartz, but O'Neal Cousins not playing there. You know, a lot of things that you can do at tackle because the guy gets on you a little slower as opposed to, you know, a guard where the guy's right on top of you from the get-go. The other thing is, you know, we didn't do a lot of chipping during the course of the game, which is a thing. I was telling Jim, you know, we were in a shotgun 38 times, and I think we only ran once out of it. So, you know, you're pretty much telling the other team, okay, we're in a shotgun, guess what we're going to do? And I think that's one of the things that, you know, they have to do a better this thing. And also, you know, this all of a sudden is a more vertical offense. And when you got a more vertical offense, you know, it's not 1,002, 1,003 and the ball's
right.
out.
Right.
It might be up to four or five sometimes.
Yeah, you need to hold those blocks a little longer. And that was one of the things Cameron Wake had his way with Mitchell Schwartz in that game. A lot of the people who have called this show, and I'm sure a lot of the people you've talked to, were very concerned about the use, or should I say lack of use, for Trent Richardson in week number one. Only 13 carries. North Turner said he wants to get him the ball more. And then Trent Richardson today made some interesting comments, I thought, saying that, you know, Miami didn't stop our ground game. We stopped our ground game by not running the football anymore. What's your kind of take on the Trent Richardson situation and the utilization?
Well, you know, Nathan, he is he's been a funny fit, I think, in his 2 years here, because we've had this discussion an awful lot, just like a discussion post-opening day about losing a game. We've had this discussion a lot about, you know, what do you want to do with him? How do you really make him the offense? Do you really want him to be the offense? And it's been a funny fit. I take a look at it and say that I don't think we've seen that perfect game yet in his year and now one game into his second season where you can say, oh, if you go back to that one game last
Cincinnati,
year. Maybe. Yeah, maybe that game, but I mean, there hasn't been that fit, and I just don't know if they've achieved the balance. But I mean, the way the game started out last week,
looks
I thought,
great.
Wow, he looks terrific.
And that seemed to be, the start of that game gave you that sense that, okay,
here we go.
He's going to be the Swiss Army knife, too. You're going to make use of him catching the football as much as running it. And in fact, when they got away from running him, the thing that I wanted to see more of was more of him catching it.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him become a bigger factor, if indeed the plays that didn't work out in the quote regular passing game with receivers and the tight end and so forth. I know 9 catches go to Jordan Cameron, but why not come up with more creative ways to just get him involved?
Well, Baltimore did that in week 1 with Ray Rice.
Exactly.
He struggled to run. He ended up with 8 catches.
That's where
so,
I was going.
You know, that's what you'd like to see, but it's also the difference is Trent Richardson wasn't on the field for a lot of those passing situations, and Chris Obanaya was.
Well, I mean, you know, it will be, it's just, I think that there'll be a point, I hope, soon that we'll take a look at this and say, see, there's the game, there's the Richardson.
I hope
that's
so
what
too.
They want to do with it. I think it's got to happen pretty soon. And he's the kind of guy that can really, if you can get him rolling on both ends, catching and certainly running the ball, I think you could have a great day.
Well, especially if you throw the ball to him out in the perimeter, because you throw him, you know, in between the tackles.
Right.
There's a lot of big bodies. When you get on the outside, he's a mismatch. I mean, because there's not a cornerback in the league that's one, you know, wants to
take
a lump
him
of him. Yeah.
What do you see when you, Doug, look at this Ravens defense and their style of play and the types of players they have? They really got, obviously, with Elvis Dumervil, they're built to be a pass-rushing type of team. Does this open up some opportunities? Would this be where the game plan should be more committed to the run?
Well, yeah. I mean, first off, if you run the ball, you know, it makes the defensive player think, you know, he's not just going to play the pass on the way, you know, the run on the way of the passer. You know, he's got to honor that run first. The thing that they do have that's good is, you know, they've got two outside rushers in Suggs and Dumervil that can, you know, squeeze the pocket. But inside, they got that beer truck, Nada, that just, you know, pushes, you know, everything right back in the quarterback's face. So, you know, you've got to get the ball quickly. I think, you know, we talked about Richardson. if he gets 3 yards on first down, 3 yards, all of a sudden you got a more workable third down, you don't go 1 for 14.
Yeah, he's never a water truck, by the way. You notice he's always
a beer truck. Yeah, you're right. That's right.
Doug Munch.
Yeah,
mentions.
Well, consider the source on that.
but as we also look at this game from a defensive standpoint, and that is where the optimism is going to come into play, guys.
Sure.
We saw what this defense did last week. Once they settled in and kind of got their act together, pass rushing, putting a lot of pressure on Ryan Tannehill. Can we see the same thing happen? Again, this is an offensive line that could have some vulnerability to it. And a quarterback, and Joe Flacco, who I have a little higher regard for than my partner here, but nonetheless, a quarterback who, if he's given time and if they're balanced, if Ray Rice is also running, I don't see the same outcome defensively for the Browns this week.
Well, I mean, he is, you got to get him in one of his bad flows. And I think he has different flows in games, Flacco. I think that there are times when he really looks like he's ready to blow you out. And then there are other times where he kind of goes and takes a little bit of a nap. But I mean, he really even visually looks like that sometimes through that face mask, that he just, he seems to go in a different flow sometimes.
Purple haze?
Yeah, purple haze. And I think you have to keep him in that, because I thought, last year, the game here at the stadium, they got off to a 14-0 start, and then he went into a funk. Mm-hmm. And remember, and then they woke up when the Browns went ahead 15-14. I think that's what you can do with him.
But he's a lot like Whedon. He throws the deep ball pretty good. He throws the intermediate routes, but the underneath stuff he's not always that good at. He gets hot. When he gets hot, then you got to watch out. But their team, since Caldwell came in, they've become more of a pass team. And I think, they get away from the run, but they do have the security blanket of going back to Ray Rice and Pierce. I mean, you can't get, not acknowledge that kid, because he runs.
He's good.
They have a guy that's a cutback runner, and they got a guy that's a downhill runner.
Right.
So they got a little bit of both.
And they got Big Vonta Leach. Yeah.
The one thing that gives me a little bit of hope in this game for the Browns is that this Baltimore Ravens team actually has a lot of new pieces on both sides of the ball, and we saw a lot of the communication errors they had against Denver. Now, obviously, I wish they didn't have 10 days to prepare for the Browns like they do, but it seemed to me that on the defensive side of the ball, there are some holes to attack in the passing game. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Joe Hayden hopefully will do his job against Torrey Smith like he did against Mike Wallace. And then really Joe Flacco's throwing to people that he's never played with before. I mean,
right.
Dallas Clark and Brandon Stokley are both north of 34, and they're playing their second games with Joe Flacco. Marlon Brown is a rookie playing his, basically starting his first game. So there seems to me to be some opportunity to slow down that offense. I think the onus will just be on the Browns to get to, I think 24 points could easily win this game. It's just, can they get there?
Yeah, they really miss Pitta. Misses Pitta, yeah.
Massive.
And you can really notice that. I mean, going to Dallas Clark and going to Dixon is not the same
joined at the hip.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like Romo and Whitman.
That Bolden used to.
He's not so bad either, 200 yards in week one with the 49ers.
Yeah. Over there last year, I remember we played, he didn't catch a ball.
He didn't catch a ball in the first half. Yeah, I think he had 9 or 10 catches.
I made a comment, then I said, oh, should have shut up.
Yeah. Well, as we again think about the mental challenge for this team, and it goes on the lap of the head coach, Rob Chudzinski. Is he up to the chore as a first year head coach? And I know we're trying to read a lot of things here, but how he's handled this loss and what is his level or his demeanor after this? We had him on the show on Monday, and I thought he was what I hoped he would be, pretty level, pretty steady, but not treating it like, okay, it's just one game, we'll move on. It's bigger than that, but have some answers and get, make the necessary adjustments. What do you see from that?
Well, I hope to see this, that you have to be what you are, and I think he's an offensive guy, and he's probably very personally saying, boy, our offense just did not get going at all in that game last week. I remember when he was the offensive coordinator here, they had a horrible first game against Pittsburgh, and they came out the next week, and it might have been against Baltimore, or it was against the Bengals, excuse me, and they came out, and they really started to roll. So I would think that he would first issue would be, we got to get this offense moving a little bit. And, for all of us in this room, I mean, that game last Sunday really looked like that Indianapolis third preseason game that was easy to dust off a little bit and say, it was just one of those nights. But, you know, you can't have it one of those nights too many more times.
And well, if you're a passing team, you know, which we kind of like to think we are, but you got to get in a rhythm.
And yeah,
if
no
you
rhythm,
don't get
right.
in a rhythm. We never got in it. I think we had 5-3 and outs. No, I mean, that's not good.
Yeah. No, it's not good. It's not good for the defense either. One of the things that I wonder about is how much of a pass do you give the offense without Josh Gordon? I mean, clearly he is so important to what this team wants to do, and
boy,
I think that was evident,
as
it could be on Sunday.
Well, I would think at this time next week, Brandon Whedon will be driving Gordon over to practice to get him over here. He really did miss him. I mean, he really did miss him because it took away so much of you know, what they want to do and stretching the field down the field. I think that they were much more compact to the line of scrimmage than they really want to be because he wasn't here. I mean, I really think they have to work beyond it for one more week, but you got to go out here Sunday and figure out a way, and you got to be able to really get Little and Benjamin going, I think, a little bit more. Cameron, I think, is going to be fine.
I agree.
I mean, you got to get people to back out of the box. I mean, they loaded it up after the first series there last week, so if you can get them out, then all of a sudden that's going to open up your passing game too. I mean, because they were just bringing blitzes. You know, you had to sort it out. You had some miscommunication. You had some chips that weren't chips because, you know, guys didn't pick it up. And, you know, that's tough on an offensive line. If you think you're going to get help and you let the guy loose thinking there's going to be somebody sitting there and that guy doesn't do it, then you had a problem. And I think, you know, that was one of the problems. Just the chemistry part of it. And with the new team, you know, there are so many young players, it takes a little bit.
This is the Roundtable. It's brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. Guys, you just mentioned something, Doug. Younger team. Do you think playing away from home could actually benefit this group? And especially maybe Brandon Whedon, just to the extent that they felt everything that, like we said, everything was perfect about Sunday except the game itself with the crowd and the enthusiasm and the level of excitement. Take that out of the equation and put the team in the position of being in a hostile environment where no one's on their side. Is that a plus?
I'm not sure if that's a plus unless it's Jacksonville or Oakland.
This is hostile. Bill Parcells used to say hostile brings the he savored those RFK Stadium games because he'd watch it. He told the players, listen to what they say about your mother. Listen to what you say about. They're going to call you things that you've never been called in your life, and they the Giants team that he coached then thrived on that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt, you know, when you go in an environment like that. But, you know, the other part is communication. Now, you know, you got a young thing where not everybody's always on the same page, and it's important that everybody knows, you know, the wide receivers, what the quarterback's thinking. And if you can't communicate it, you know, via, you know, call, check off or something like that, that makes it a little bit tougher. But the other part of it is we now got a game on our belt. A lot of these young guys, I mean, you look at that Robert Rainey, you know, last week, he's bringing kickoffs out that he should have, you know, just taken touchbacks, you know, because you're not going to get there.
You know, he was handling that like it was an audition.
Preseason. I agree. Completely.
You can understand it. He just got here, and, you know, he wants to make make an impact. But, you know, you got to be smart in your football.
Yeah, I think there are, maybe I'm reaching now, but I think there's some intangibles here. I think this Paul Kruger, something happens with him coming back to that place, and that it's going to get personal for him. You know, in some degree, Rainey, although it's much more limited, this is he goes back there. And if O'Neal Cousins gets there to play, I mean, he's got enough to be accountable for, regardless of where. But you know, you would think in his mind, you know, you can't have two disasters in a row like that. But I guess you could. But I'm just wondering if some of those little, maybe that become bigger things. And I hear what you say about communication, but I just go back to that Thursday night game where Whedon
he really wasn't thinking.
He was just playing.
Yeah, well, and he took a real beating early in that game. But then all of a sudden there was a level of he said, hey, listen, I took your best shot, and now I'm going to hang in here and try and beat you. And, I mean, they're throwing to tie the game up at the end. I think you have to survive over there the first 10 minutes. I really do, because I think there's an onslaught of emotion that's built up in that place, and they really do a great job of doing it, and Ray Lewis, you know, played into it and fed into it. So you really do have to hold your water, as you always say, those first 10 minutes and survive that over there.
You know, and they're a team that's built on being a physical football team. They like to come up and smack you. They like to try to intimidate you. But, you know, the last few years, I've noticed this team, you know, will meet that challenge. I mean, we can be as physical as anybody in the league, especially on that defensive side. And, you know, you always look at matchups, you know, and here we see Gradkowski's little brother playing, or big little brother, playing center. I mean, that should be a mismatch for, you know, Phil Taylor. I would be surprised if he's not, you know, rolling him back to the quarterback quite a few times.
All right, guys, appreciate it, and we'll see both of you in
Absolutely.
Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network on the Roundtable, which is brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. Hey, every visit, an entertaining experience. Just grab a seat in the cozy bar, and you catch all the action
it's
in
good.
Their open kitchen. It's a great hangout.
Yeah, I've
hangout.
Been there many times in Hudson. It's delicious.
Love it. All right.
Kay and George over there that run those places, they have some of the best restaurants in town.
They do.
They're
delicious.
Absolutely do. They absolutely do. Good stuff.
Boy, that is, I'll tell you, that's the endorsement that all restaurateurs are looking for.
From Doug. Yeah, that's right.
I was at one of them last night, the Cabin Club, which is
another one of their places.
Yeah.
Look at this.
But it's not the Cabin Club Roundtable. It's the Rosewood Grill.
That's right.
We got so much more coming up. Inc. Jason Lockwood Fora, right, from CBS Sports, coming. Yeah. I think he's eating at the Rosewood Grill.
I think he is.
That's all coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.